I've been doing a sermon series on love, and the interesting thing is I've kind of been battling inside myself about this series. A lot of the messages, you know, leading up to this haven't always been the easiest of messages. I mean, they may, at least I can tell you that they haven't been easy for me. It's never fun to preach about sin, is it? It's never fun to preach about areas that we need to change in our life. And so a lot of the sermon series before this, I found, honestly, personally challenging in my life. And then when God kind of directed me toward teaching a series on love, at first I was like, woohoo, I can teach on love, something that people, you know, won't be afraid of. You know, a series that people won't, like, run from and be, like, all worried, like, oh, I don't want to go to church on this Sunday because pastor's going to preach about sin again and it's going to show an area of my life that I need to change. But you know, the interesting thing is that the more that I dive into what love is and how love is so not selfish, love really causes us to change how we approach people. Love really causes us to look at each relationship that's in our life differently. If we want to be like Jesus, right? It causes us to look at them and to instinctively look for ways that we can love that person the way that God would want us to love them. That's work, if you really want to do it right, isn't it? Because you know what? Each person is different. We all are created uniquely, wonderfully made. Isn't that what the Bible says? So in order for us to love people the way that God's designed them, usually we got to change someone ourselves, right? In order to be able to do that well. I mean, the easy thing is to say, tough, I'm going to love them the way that I'm designed. That's the easy way, right? But we've probably learned in our relationships, when we do that, not very effective, right? I mean, we might feel better because, hey, we're trying. We're doing the best we can, you know, and if they can't receive love the way that I'm designed, well, they should change. That's the easy answer, right? But as we become more like Jesus, we learn that it's not about us when we're loving people. It's about the people that we're trying to love. This morning, this is a scripture that we've kind of started off each one of the messages with. It's in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I'll have the scriptures behind me this morning if you just want to follow along that way, if you want to use your Bible old school or phone, that's up to you. But John 13, 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I mean, Jesus has been so specific all throughout the New Testament that we are required to love everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter where they're from, or any other label that we want to put on people. God has demanded, it's a command, that we have to love everyone. Every person that comes inside where we live. And he did that because he knew that really the only way to reach a world, the only way to, I guess, introduce Jesus to all the people that are here on earth is through love. It's the most effective way of doing it. It is the only way that has no chance of failing if we do it the way Jesus asks us to. Because whether we are willing to admit it or not, we all hunger for love. We do. We all hunger for love. But see, what the world doesn't realize is that means we hunger for Jesus. Why? Well, because God is love. So whether they understand it or not, they are hungering for him. They just don't know what they're hungering for sometimes. And that's our job, right? Is to show people love. So they then ask, what's up with this? And we point them to the one who gives us the ability to love. Now, we've been covering the five love languages that we find not only in the Bible, but we've also have been reading, and I gave one of the books away, a book by Dr. Gary Chapman, which I think very thoroughly describes and models love. It gives us good examples that we can follow. Matter of fact, we thought it was so valuable that we put it in our small groups. Why? Because it will allow us to not only reinforce it in our lives, but it helps us learn from each other just different ways to love people. And it also is teaching us how each one of us are. And we learn how each one of us wants to receive love. Now, last week we covered words of affirmation. And we learned that they basically are written or spoken words that are used to build up or strengthen someone. And they come in many forms. Remember, there were three of them. We learned about words of encouragement, right? And it literally is defined how it sounds. The purpose of that is to inspire courage in someone. It's literally to go up to someone who's going through something difficult, and it's like an injection of courage. And it could be because of either problems from their past or things they're going through currently, or it could be about the unknown that they're scared or they're fearful about. But by you speaking words of life into them, it allows them to say, you know what? Yes, my God is able to get me through that. Words of encouragement also have the added benefit of sometimes kind of kindling up something inside you to step out in areas that you never even thought of that you would. That's what courage does. Courage almost allows you to believe that God can do anything. You want to find a Christian or a follower of Christ who can accomplish anything? Find someone who truly believes that their God is bigger than anything. And there's nothing that can stop them. And we also learned about the second one was kind words, right? And kind words were the ones that we kind of said that we should wrap everything that we say around them. It's kind of the wrapper that we put around, because love is patient and love is kind. Well, think of it this way. It's kind of like the flavoring that we would put like in a cough syrup, you know, for kids. You know the kind that when they drink it, they won't immediately spit it out? That's what kindness is. Kindness allows us to speak the truth in love, where people are able to receive it. People are willing to ingest it. You've seen when people don't wrap things in kindness, right? You've seen when people use, and maybe they wrap it in sarcasm. It's almost like a bitter taste, like, ugh. You know, when people have a bad attitude when they're saying something, how well do you receive what they're saying? It's like, ugh. So we learned that we wrap kindness around everything we say. And the final one was words of appreciation. I love words of appreciation. You know what words of appreciation are? It means that you look inside of someone and you see something of value and you call it out. It's basically saying, I see something awesome in you, and I just want not only you to know, but I want everyone to know that that's special. That's a treasure. Talk about lifting someone up when you can see something incredible in them and you call it out and tell it for what it is. And we learned, especially children, don't they need that? Because the world tries to tell them that they're nothing. The world does everything they can to tear down our kids. But we have an opportunity, not only as parents, but even if you have no kids of your own, you have the ability to speak life to them, to encourage them, to see the God-given talents in them and call it out. But we also talked about, you know, ways to make our words of affirmation more effective. And that's important, right? Because there are some of us that don't find it easy to say words of affirmation, right? Some of you, that's not your natural language. Some of you, it's like, that's like the easiest thing in the world. I mean, that's how God designed you. Matter of fact, not only do you want to receive them, but you're really good at giving them. It's like you're really good at that tool. But we've learned that just because you're not good at something, it's not natural to you, you can learn to do it. I mean, I remember when I first learned to start hammering in a nail. It was not good. You know, sometimes when you're trying to hammer in a nail and you do it wrong and the nail gets bent over and you have to pull it out and kind of straighten it back up and hammer it back in. And then you get a little, you know, more daring and you kind of swing a little harder and you completely miss and you're like, there's this little notch now in the wood. You're like, oh man, I got to fix that. And you get maybe a little too daring and bam, and there goes the finger, you know. But that's what it is sometimes in learning some of these love languages. It's you learn through experience. You learn, because I've seen some people, and it's fascinating. I've seen some people that can hammer in a nail with one swing, where they literally have the nail there and bam, and they put that nail in perfectly. I'm like, how the heck did you do that? See, personally, I'm a nail gun guy. You just give me that and you know. You can picture me doing that, can't you? For those of you who know me, you know. But today we're going to look at the next love language. It's quality time. Quality time. Now I know as soon as I say quality time, some of you kind of start to cringe a little. Time? Because what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I don't have any time. What are you talking about quality time? I spend my entire life trying to get time back. The last thing I want to do is for that, you know, to be what I have to start giving to other people. How many of you find that in your life? You're like, I don't have the time, Pastor. Actually, think about it this way. How many of you know of like different things that people have created, like gadgets and things that are all about saving time? You know, and people make millions off it, don't they? Time saver things. I mean, microwaves. What's their job? Reheat or cook food as fast as you possibly can, right? Or think about like organizers. Why do we have organizers? So we can find what we want as fast as we can. I mean, even GPS. What's the GPS's job? Get me there the fastest you could possibly get me. You know, so I don't even have to think. I just follow the voice that says, go this way. Now, why? Because truth of the matter is, what have we learned? What's more valuable, time or money? Yeah. Why? You can't get it back. So what is quality time? Quality time is giving someone undivided attention. It's intentional. It's deliberate. It's time given to a specific person and only for them. In other words, it's about the person that you're spending with. It's all about them. It has nothing to do with you at all. It's only about them. Now, let's look at a story in the Bible that I don't think people normally think of it as a quality time example. I'll let you be the judge of it when we're done. But why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 10? We're going to spend the rest of our time there this morning. It's in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read you verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. It reads this way in the NIV. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now think about this story. Doesn't this honestly look like the perfect setup for quality time? Jesus is going through a town, right? Martha sees him. You're in my town. Come to my house. Let's spend some time together. So I'm going to open my house to you. Now, after you read the whole story, it doesn't really work out that great, though. You know, I mean, it seems like it was a perfect setup for Martha and Jesus. But it just doesn't work out that way. But I think that if we really look at this story, it actually brings out certain characteristics or qualities that if we apply in our life, it actually will make your quality time with people that that much more effective. And that's important because, you know what? I've learned that some people feel loved when you spend time with them. Some people do. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Everybody likes to spend time with some people. Everyone does. But there are some people who actually feel loved when you do that. And that's very different. Quality time is more than just kind of hanging out with someone. It's not just talking with someone or doing something with someone. It can only be considered quality time if you're doing it for the reason of making them feel loved. That's what quality time is. Because remember, quality time, it's intentional and it's deliberate. You're doing it for a specific purpose. As a matter of fact, the core of quality time, it's togetherness. That's the core of quality time. And I don't mean how close you are physically to someone. I mean, me just being like this close to Sharon does not mean we're having quality time. It doesn't. It's togetherness is focused on focused attention. It's you have my undivided attention. Think of it this way. Let's say that you were having a tea party. Let's say with either a daughter, a niece, a granddaughter, a little young lady in your life. You know, I would be not focusing on like the plastic cups and saucers. I wouldn't be focusing on what kind of cookies she was serving. I would prefer Nutter Butters. That's kind of my favorite. But I would still remain focused on, you know, that would not be my focus. I would not be focused on if she was serving me water or maybe some kind of mystery liquid that I'm kind of peeking at to wonder what I'm about to ingest. But my focus is on her. She has my undivided attention. You wouldn't see me on my phone, right? Texting. You wouldn't see me on my phone, you know, talking or checking my email, because then my focus is divided, right? She doesn't have my undivided attention. Now, you will find times in your different relationships when you're sitting in the same room as someone, but you're not together. You're not. Quiet time only happens if that person has your full attention. And look, you don't have to be staring into someone's eyes the whole time. You don't. It's like, I think that would be a little spooky, unless it was your wife, you know, or something like that. You know, I don't think I want someone to be staring into my eyes the whole time. You know, but the important thing is emotionally, you're spending quality, focused time with each other. It's actually not even that important what you're doing. It's that you're focused on them. Now, the interesting thing with quality time, it's actually similar to words of affirmation in that it has different dialects. And the book really brings that out very well. The first one that we'll talk about is quality conversations. Quality conversations. Back to verse 39, which we already read. It said, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, quality conversation is different than words of affirmation. It's different. See, affirmation focuses on what you're saying. Quality conversation focuses on what you're hearing. Big difference. My objective is not to try and, you know, say the right thing to you. I want to draw you out. I want to know what you are feeling. My goal is to listen closely to what you have to say. Matter of fact, I will ask questions, not really to pester you, but really to draw you out. Because my goal is to understand you. My goal is to love you. It has nothing to do with me at all. It's basically my way of saying I love you. So I want to know all about you. I mean, for example, let's say that you're in college and a roommate comes back to the dorm and you can see that they're in a really bad mood. And, you know, and come to find out that they're mad at their boss and some things they did, and they're just angry and they're upset and they're just confused and, you know, they're definitely not in a good mood. Well, quality conversation would listen, would ask questions, would empathize with them. They would get to the place where you completely understand what they're feeling. Quality conversation would not interrupt them, wouldn't ask or wouldn't give them a bunch of suggestions on how they should change. And matter of fact, you know, all right, you do these things and then you'll feel better. So just do it and you'll be fine. That's not quality conversation. Now, which do you think verse 40 is a good example of? Let's bring that one back up. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I'm not kind of hearing a bunch of love being thrown around. Are you kind of getting that impression? I'm seeing a lot of selfishness because it's all about me. She wasn't in a listening mood, right? But she was sure willing to give Jesus lots of advice on how to fix the bad situation that was happening in her house. She said, if you just did this, everything would be fine. Now, what are some, I would almost call these easy ways that you could increase the effectiveness of quality conversation in your life? Let me give you a couple of them. Number one, maintain eye contact with the person that you are listening to. Why? It keeps your mind, A, from wandering, and B, when you show eye contact to someone, what it does is it says, I value what you're communicating. And that goes right into number two. Don't listen and be doing something at the exact same time. Don't. See, when we're doing something else while we're listening, you know what we're saying? We may not be saying it out loud, but what we're saying is, what you're telling me is not worthy of my undivided attention. It's not. It's not worthy of it. I'm not saying that it doesn't have some value. It's just not worth my undivided attention. Matter of fact, if someone comes to you and wants to talk and you're doing something, you've got two good choices. I mean, you have more than that, but you have two good ones. You can either A, stop what you're doing and listen, right? You can do that. Or B, you know what you can do? You can look them in the eye and say, you know what? I'm in the middle of something. Can you give me a few minutes? I want to finish this up. And then when I'm done, I will give you my undivided attention. Now, if this is a family or a friend, you know what? Most likely, they're probably going to let you do that. Unless you do that every single time that they come. But I'm telling you, value says, you know what? I may be in the middle of something, but I'm going to stop because I love you more than me. And number three, listen for feelings. Listen for feelings. Ask yourself, what emotions is this person experiencing? Because once you think that you understand what feelings that they are trying to give you, ask them questions. Why? You want to clarify that you understand. It gives them an opportunity to say, well, no, that's not actually what I meant. What I meant was this. You know what I mean? And plus, every time you ask questions, what does it show? It shows value. It says, I truly want to know what you're feeling. And this is important. Watch their body language. Folded arms, frowns, crying, other things. You know, I've learned that body language can communicate so much more than what comes out of the mouth. Have you noticed that? Matter of fact, this is really important. Look, if the words say one thing, but the body language says something else, ask questions. Because a couple things could be going on. A, they could be really confused about what they're feeling. Or to be honest, they could be afraid to tell you the truth. Have you ever noticed that? Matter of fact, I can tell you this, and I've just learned this through experience. If the words do not line up with the body language, you know what tends to be right? The body language. See, words are easy to change. Telling you body language, that's hard to hide, isn't it? Look, you're crying. Obviously, something's going on. No, I've had a good day. I'm sure you had a great day. Well, tell me about your great day, you know? Ask questions. And lastly, refuse to interrupt. Refuse. Research, you know that research shows that an average conversation, people will wait only 17 seconds before they interrupt. That's the average. That's how long people will wait, 17 seconds. If you're giving someone undivided attention, you'll give them the ability to always finish their thoughts before you even ask a question. As a matter of fact, and you'll only ask questions when they're done, and the only reason why you're asking questions is to clarify what they've asked. That's it. Because remember, your objective is not to defend yourself. Your objective is not to fix their problems. Your objective is to understand what they're feeling, what they've gone through. That's it. Now, there's an other half, you know, on quality conversation. The listening part, really important, but it's not just listening, it's learning to talk. Matter of fact, the most effective times of quality conversation is when both people are able to speak what's going on inside of them and be understood. So, I mean, listening is great, but you will need to learn to talk about your own feelings. We'll go back to verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, Martha may not have been the best listener, right? But at least she was willing to communicate her feelings. True? See, but the problem we see here is that was she speaking the truth in love? No. And you know what I've learned? Most people fall into the Martha category when they're talking. They're talking to vent. They're talking to just kind of get something off their chest. Their goal is not for really for understanding. Matter of fact, they just want to make things better for themselves. That's all they want to do. Quality conversation looks to be understood. It looks to build a bridge. The goal is to enhance the relationship. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James 1, 19 and 20. Says, "My dear brothers and sisters, pay attention to what I say. Everyone should be quick to listen, but they should be slow to speak. They should be slow to get angry. A man's anger doesn't produce the kind of life God wants." Quality conversation is not there for you to dump on people. It's not. It should be a bi-directional way for two people to connect on an emotional level, to feel understood, and in the end, to feel loved. Now, the second dialect of quality time, so we had quality conversations. The second one is quality activities. Now, quality activities are really anything which one or both of the people enjoy to do. It doesn't have to be both of you. It does tend to be more effective if both of you enjoy the activity. But honestly, it only takes one. I mean, I remember, for example, growing up, I was not a big baseball player. I didn't. Matter of fact, I never got signed up for Little League. I didn't. I played soccer and I played basketball. You know, because you could tell from my height, right, for basketball. But those were my sports. And so you know what? When my son was born, guess what I signed him up for? I signed him up for soccer. Of course. He hated it. I was like, ah. All right, at least there's basketball. So I signed him up for basketball. It was horrible. And he hated it. But you know what he loved? Ah, baseball. I'm not a baseball player. So how do I, as a dad who understands absolutely nothing, I've never played before, forget the fact that he has to, of course, be left-handed. I'm a righty. So how do you teach a guy to hit and to throw and all that when he's the opposite of you in everything? You know what? I learned. Through repetition, this guy learned to be one of the best baseball coaches that my son ever had. He did. And you know what? This is going to sound a little bizarre. I actually miss the pain I used to have in my hand when I was teaching him how to pitch. And he's it got to the point where I actually had to go out on Craigslist and I bought a full catcher. Did I had to? It was for my own. It was for my own good. I had to buy a catcher's mitt because I would come inside. My wife would see my hand. It would be bright red. Because I mean, he started to throw hard. He was a pitcher and he threw really hard. And then I taught him a curveball. And my shins used to get the tar beaten out of them. I'd come inside and I'd show my wife all these bruises. So I had to buy the full catcher gear. And to be honest, I bought a mask because I was scared. I did, because you know what? If I missed one and it hit me right in the nose, I mean, he was throwing hard. He was varsity captain. The guy could throw. As sad as it sounds, I missed the feeling in my hand. Now, I know we keep using for Martha for a lot of bad examples, but all right, let's look at verse 40 one more time. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, we can tell Martha's goal was not quality activities with Jesus, right? She was doing all this work, what? By herself. And it's not like she went to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, make Mary do the rest of the work because I want to spend some time with you." You didn't hear that, right? It's make Mary come help me so we can then go off and we'll leave you alone. And we're not talking quality activities here, right? Because look, one of the greatest things about quality activities, it creates a wealth of memories. It does. It creates a bank that you can draw on at any time, and it immediately brings you feelings of love. I'm telling you, I hear a ball snap into a catcher's mitt, and you know what I think of? My boy. I do. I flick on a baseball game, and you know what? I see a pitcher, and I'm like, that's my boy. Can you imagine the influence that we would have in our godly relationships if we took the time to create this wealth of memories? The amount of influence we would have, the ability for us to shine the love of Jesus into people. Now, I'm going to give you one big warning, though, about quality time. This is important. Be careful when you're dealing with people in the world that are not following Jesus. You have to be very careful when using this gift. Quality time will bring up conversations and will bring you to places that you as a follower of Christ have no business listening to and you have no business going to. Remember, we preached about it. Bad company corrupts good character. So make sure you've put up proper safeguards in your relationships and boundaries so you do not end up hurting your relationship with God. Because guess what? If your relationships are hurting your relationship with God, guess what happens to those relationships? They got to end. They have to. All right. Let me wrap this up. I mean, so how many of you, because I know some of you went to small groups, some of you may have taken this. How many of you, quality time is your primary? That's your primary love language. How many of you? Yeah? Okay. Now, quality, how many of you of those are quality conversations? That's what you need. How many of you are quality activities? That's kind of what you do. How many of you are kind of, all right, probably both. I'm bilingual. You know? Because some of you, it's different. Well, this is really for all of you. Who in your life have you identified are quality time people? Who are the people that you can begin to speak this love language to and shine love in their life in ways that they want to receive? I'm telling you, husbands and wives, if it's your spouse, you better figure it out really quick if you want your marriage to go well. But hey, if your kids are that way, if your parents are that way, if your boss, if your siblings, if your coach, your teacher, you need to learn which people have this as their primary love language. Because, look, for some of us, this tool is really easy to use, right? Because that's the way God made you. And so you know what? It's like the hammer, and you're the guy who can throw that nail down with one swing. To some of you, this is easy. To others of you, I'm telling you, where if quality time is not your love language, this is a hard one to learn. There's big sacrifice in this language, lots. Because you know what it's asking for? Your most valuable thing that you have. There's big cost in this. It's going to take you patience because you're going to be that guy at the tea party and you have like 15 emails and your phone keeps buzzing, but your daughter just wants to spend time with you. And you're going to have to say, no, self, I'm going to love this person more because it's all about them. Because you know what? As soon as you divide your time, it's not quality anymore. So here, think about it this way. What would you call someone who refuses to love people the way they want to be loved? What would you call them? I'd call them selfish, right? Because look, I only want to talk about what I want to talk about. I only want to do what I want to do. I'm not seeing a lot of quality conversations coming up. Probably not a lot of quality activities. You know what I've learned? Some people wonder why they don't have friends. If it's all about me, I only want to say what I want to say, I only want to do what I want to do, and you wonder why, God, send me friends. You know what he's saying? Learn quality time. Now, if you're trying, I'm going to end with this. When you're trying to love someone with quality time as their love language, let me give you kind of a simple pattern. If you follow this, it'll make it so much easier. Okay? 4 steps, really quick. Number one, invite them. Invite them. Invite them to spend time with you or ask them if you can spend time with them. I'm telling you, quality time people love to get invited. They love it. Why? Because what do they want to do? They want to spend time with you. And when you say, yeah, it's just us, focus time, they'll come running. And number two, ask them what they want to do. For those of you who already have the relationships and you may already have certain things that you're doing all the time, it may be you asking them, what would you like to do instead? And don't give any suggestions at all. Don't give them one. Why? Because it's all about them. It has nothing to do with you. Because you know what? If your quality time is just doing what you want to do, is that quality time? No. And then, while you're there, number three, ask them questions about things they're interested in. Just ask them questions. This shows that you care more about them than about yourself. Quality time people love it when you show interest in who they are, when you just want to understand them, when you just want to dive into them and tell me, I want to know about you. You may say, but Pastor, it'll seem fake. They won't care. The fact that you showed interest in them, the fact that you just want to spend quality time with them, their tank of love is just going to start gushing. They're going to love it. And finally, be a good listener. While they're talking about themselves, just ask them questions. That shows that you are listening. Really, you like baseball? So what team do you like? Oh, how big was that fish? Have you ever caught a fish that big before? Is that like the only time you've ever done that? Or, you're right. It did sound like a rough day at work. Wow. Tell me what happened. I mean, because it sounds like this was really a stressful day for you. They will chew that up. Are you kidding me? Wow. You value me to give me your time and has nothing to do about you and you just want to learn about me? And then you're not going to fix me? You're not going to tell me all the things that I did wrong or the things that I should have did instead? You just want to know about me? Wow. That's treasure. Just in the same way to someone who's words of affirmation, when you speak words of life into them, when you tell them, no, you can do it. You can do it. What? I see that talent in you, and it's awesome. Just in the same way to words of affirmation person, that's solid gold. You to a quality time person, well, what do you want to do? Doesn't matter. What do you mean? I just want to spend time with you. What would you like to do? Oh, you just want to sit and talk? Oh, that's cool. How was your day? How have you been doing? Oh, you want to do this activity? Sure, let's do it. Yeah, no, let me put my phone off. Let's just sit down and play a game of cards. What, but don't you have work to do? Yeah, but you're worth more to that. You're worth more to me than that. See, why are we learning all these tools? Because not only do our marriages, our families, our relationships here need that, the world needs that. Because you know what? In the world out there, people only do things that they think are going to help them. Even the most charitable people, you know why they're charitable? Because it makes them feel good. What we're learning is we shine the love of Jesus so people see our good deeds and end up what? Glorifying our Father in heaven. Look, I can tell you this. If we as a body of Christ capture that, inviting people to church, not a problem. You're there? Yeah. People like you are there? Yeah. I'm there. Shouldn't it be that way? Shouldn't inviting people to church things be that easy? When really, there are two questions really should be that. So you're going to be there. Yep. I'm going to be there. And people like you are there. Yep. I'm definitely coming to that small group. I'm definitely coming to sing show and tell. Church on Sunday morning? It's kind of inconvenient, but you're there. They're there. Okay, I'll do it. Learning to love people the way that God designed them, not the way that you want to, but the way God designed them. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand?